Welcome to the Buddy Seat Podcast by Winfield United. I'm your host, Aaron Willenberg, and we're going to jump into the buddy seat with industry experts and talk about all things agriculture. Grab a coffee and maybe some snacks, and let's get rolling. Today on the buddy seat, I'm riding along with Todd Cardwell, senior agronomist with Land O'Lakes, and Martin Carr, agronomy manager with Winfield United Canada, to learn what I can about activator adjuvants with a focus on surfactants and oil adjuvants. So let's get going. Let's start with non-ionic surfactants, which I know that means high activate. What's the purpose of a non-ionic surfactant?
Let's start with a simple answer. What is a surfactant? It simply is an abbreviation for surface acting agent, surfactant. Now, there are a number of types of surfactants. There are anionic, there are cationic, and there are non-ionic. In agriculture, most of the time, we are using the non-ionic surfactants. So from here on out, when we talk surfactants, it's going to be non-ionic surfactants.
Non-ionic surfactants. Okay, I've got it. So have these been on the market for a while?
Yes, the non-ionics have been on the market for a long time, but kind of, let's do a little bit of a history lesson of where adjuvants actually started. First adjuvants were used in the U.S. were actually petroleum-based products. In fact, doing a little bit of research, it looks like diesel fuel is one of the first additives to a pesticide. That pesticide was 2,4-D, some of the early versions of that, used for burn down to enhance the activity prior to putting that crop in. This happened just after World War II.
Huh. Well, that's really cool. They have been around for a while. So why exactly do people use them? Like, what does it actually do?
If you look at most herbicide labels, some insecticide, some fungicide, you'll see that the recommendation to use non-ionic surfactant system with it, what they are doing is they're trying to get that crop protection product to spread out when it hits the leaf. And in essence, what the surfactant systems do is when the droplet hits the leaf, it expands the surface area, so then you're getting increased coverage.
Okay, so if I think about that, would I be correct in thinking it makes it softer and it just kind of spreads out rather than balling up on the leaf surface?
That's correct. When you think of the hood of your truck, right? If you've just waxed that hood of your truck and then you get that light rain, those water beads will beat up on your surface of your truck. If you use a non-ionic surfactant, what it'll do is that water will actually spread out, you know, 3, 5, 10 times the area of that individual little droplet would. So when that's landing, it's sticking and spreading.
So it's not going to roll right off your truck then?
Absolutely.
Huh, that's cool. Well, so what exactly though does the non-ionic portion mean?
Without getting too far into a chemistry review, non-ionic means that at the molecular level, it does not have a charge on it. So some of the other surfactants might have a charge, positive or negative, but this one doesn't. It's important to have a neutral charge when working with crop protection products.
What they really don't want to do is have a surfactant attached to the herbicide. What we're doing, we're actually treating the water to reduce the surface tension of the spray solution. So that when those droplets land, as Martin was talking about with the hood of his truck, they flatten and spread out rather than rebound and roll off that leaf like they would off of that waxed hood of the truck. This helps us increase the surface area that we're covering, but it also adds a level of what we call humectancy to the spray solution, which simply means it keeps that droplet wet for a longer period of time.
So if we want to think about it, if you have a bowl of water, right, and if you were to put a surfactant in a bowl of water, even something like a soap, for example, that would have surfactant in it, and leave that next to a bowl with the same amount of water in, the wetting agents in the non-ionic surfactants or the soap will make that stay wetter longer. It won't evaporate as quickly.
Huh, that's cool. And it does sound like pretty important stuff, but I mean, this probably isn't the most exciting.
Well, for the few people in adjuvant development, research, marketing, and education, we find a lot of excitement in non-ionic surfactant chemistry.
And it just so happens I have both of those people with me today.
What Winfield has done is the biological testing to make sure that the surfactant will work in the field. Farmers don't care what the surfactant load is. They want dead weeds and other pests. And that's what our surfactant systems are designed for. The surfactant system in High Activate was discovered in the early 90s. Biologically, it is superior to many of the other adjuvants in the marketplace. We test every year trying to find something that is superior. And to date, we still have not found a replacement that is superior to High Activate.
We get a lot of claims that other products are equal to or better than High Activate, but so far we haven't found one yet. We are excited to bring the best possible adjuvant system to our customers.
So could we call this like the world's deadliest secret agent killer, but it disguises itself as, let's say, something boring like an accountant?
Or Clark Kent, for example?
Yeah, exactly. It's like Superman, but we're talking about Clark Kent. It's like Clark Kent with Superman qualities. That's what this non-ionic surfactant is, right?
Right.
Okay, so how do we get our sales folks to be excited about this?
Surfactants, High Activate specifically, has been around forever. But the fact that they are old and maybe have a little bit of gray hair, much like I do, they still seem to work. There is no substitute for them. Being around forever doesn't mean that they're any less valuable. It just means we haven't been able to find anything to replace them yet.
There are a lot of things that have been around for a long time that are still extremely important to us. Sunshine, rain, High Activate fits into that. Kind of like your classic car. Would you stop using that?
No way. Not in a million years.
Oh, you guys. So High Activate is pretty important. I got that. But how do we figure out the rate for High Activate?
Well, it's not only the rate, but it's when and where. Your herbicide, insecticide, fungicide label is the place to start looking. In general terms, the rate for High Activate is 0.25% volume for volume. Some labels might be slightly lower, some slightly higher. Kind of a range of 0.125 to as high on some of them as 0.5% volume for volume. But generally, we would recommend it at that 0.25% volume for volume rate.
I better write that one down, 0.25% volume to volume. What else?
We know High Activate reduces surface tension, helps the droplet spread out. But another good benefit from High Activate is called UV protection. What that is it helps slow the breakdown of some of the crop protection products that react in the presence of sunshine.
Huh. So sunshine can actually hurt pesticides?
Yeah, actually pesticides can break down in a number of ways, and some of it is by the sun.
Actually, a lot of the older insecticides, as well as some of the group ones and dicot, are susceptible to breakdown by sunlight. It is one of the crop-based components in High Activate that puts a thin layer of sunscreen on the plant leaf as well.
Okay, well, thanks, guys. So I feel like I have High Activate and non-ionic surfactant under control. So should we move on to oil adjuvants and the Winfield United oil adjuvants?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, well, let's start here. What is the purpose of oil adjuvants?
You got to pick the right adjuvant for the job. We talked about surfactants. We talked about how they helped the product spread. We talked about interlock, how it helps the droplet to deposit and get through the canopy. Oil adjuvants help cut through the waxy layer of the leaf and help get the active ingredient into the leaf so it can do its job and kill the weed. So it's a completely different function from what we've talked about before.
Okay, so it really depends then on what you're trying to accomplish or what pest you're trying to fight.
Sure. Well, if you think of a leaf, a weed leaf, it's got a waxy layer on it. This is known as the cuticle. So if you go to your kitchen, get some wax paper, and then put a drop of water on it, what happens?
Well, it would just bead up, right? It doesn't actually soak in or anything.
Exactly. That's the same thing that happens on the surface of a leaf. So to get that droplet to penetrate that leaf, we need to add something that will dissolve that cuticle. Oil adjuvants will do that. We can call that either dissolving or eating away, solubilizing. There's a lot of terms that are used to describe this. But the key is the oil gets the pesticide into the plant.
Okay, so what you're saying is the oil sort of strips away that waxy film and lets the active ingredient get in and do its job.
Exactly. Oils help cut through the waxy layer or cuticle, so more of that herbicide or active ingredient gets into the leaf and helps kill it.
The other thing to keep in mind is that there are different types of herbicides. Some of them we call oil-loving herbicides. And most of those, right on the label, say they want an oil in the tank with them. This could be a methylated seed oil or a high surfactant oil concentrate. There are many herbicides who have an increase in efficacy due to the addition of an oil adjuvant system.
That's one of the advantages of an oil adjuvant system. They help cut through the wax. Another thing they do, if you want to think about oil versus water, which one is going to last longer before it evaporates?
Well, that'd be an oil, I would think.
Right. So it will help keep the spray solution or those droplets wet longer. So that is more time for the active ingredient to be taken up on the leaf.
Okay. Well, so does it matter what kind of oil you use?
Absolutely, it does. There are different oil classes. There are paraffinic oils, and those would be the crop oil concentrates. Then there's another class based on seed oils. These are called MSOs, or methylated seed oil.
Oh boy. Okay, so crop oil concentrates, or COCs, crop oil concentrates, are not made of seeds. They're made of paraffins or synthetics. I can see how this might get confusing.
Well, just try to remember this. Methylated seed oils are made from seeds. Crop oils are made from petroleum. An easy way to remember that is COCs are like diesel fuel, made from petroleum products. MSOs are actually like biodiesel, made from seeds. And there are actually a newer class, or a third class of oils, called the high surfactant oil concentrates, or abbreviated HSOCs. They can fit into a crop oil or an MSO class, depending on what oil is used to blend them. What makes the high surfactant oil concentrates unique is they have a much higher ratio of surfactant or emulsifier added to the oil than the standard COC or MSO. This is important because by changing that ratio, we've actually now made those oils compatible with glyphosate, which in the past, glyphosate would have it on its label itself, do not add oils, because there is some antagonism that actually occurs. Winfield was the first to develop these and the first to be able to get into the spray tank with glyphosate to add advantage when you put partnered products that are oil-loving.
Well, if we look at today's cropping system, we are adding a lot of pre-herbicides with our glyphosate. No longer is it just one mode of action in the spray tank. Many of our pre-herbicides that we want in the tank mix are oil-loving herbicides and actually work better with an oil adjuvant system. This is where Journey HSOC really shines and is compatible with that glyphosate.
Okay, so that's part of the key selling feature then, isn't it? Folks want to use the glyphosate, but we need to figure out a way to make it all compatible. So it didn't really work together before, is that right?
That's right. They are designed to allow the applicator to tank mix herbicides that they need to have to control a particular weed spectrum, while still getting the performance out of the glyphosate, while synergizing the activity of those that are oil loving. That way you get the best of both worlds. Your glyphosate works, and your tank mix partner actually works to the best of its ability.
So these HSOCs are pretty cool. So am I correct in saying this is kind of like a new golf club in the bag, something we didn't have access to before?
Yep, Journey HSOC is that new club that no matter where you are on the golf course, that ball goes right in the cup.
Too funny. Okay, so talk to me again about when to use Journey. Is it only in tank mixes with glyphosate?
Look at the labels as your first resource. The best fit for Journey HSOC is when you have hard-to-control weeds. The addition of that MSO is the best at solubilizing that waxy layer that you can get. It's going to give you the best bang for your buck, especially in those tough, dry conditions.
So we use oils and HSOCs because they work. Our oils are a step up in performance over non-ionic surfactants, and a lot of herbicides require them. If you have tough volunteers to control and are wanting to tank mix with glyphosate and an oil is required, Journey HSOC is the only way to go. And even with insecticides and fungicides, It helps them stick around longer to help improve control.
Okay, so Journey HSOC is pretty cool in that you can use it in a tank mix with glyphosate. But that's not the only place you can use it. You can really use it anywhere the label calls for an oil adjuvant. Is that right, Todd?
Yes, that's correct, Erin.
Okay. Well, let's take a minute and wrap up here. Over the last few segments, we've learned a lot, and I want to take a look at the big picture just to try to pull it all together. So tell me again, why do adjuvants, including surfactants and interlock, play such an important role?
Well, there are a couple of key things here. First of all, the adjuvants help improve performance. They help the products work better. And second is that they help reduce the potential of drift and potentially liability. It really depends on what adjuvant you are talking about. All of them have a specific function, but the big picture is that they help improve performance and optimize spray applications.
They help overcome obstacles in the spray application, just to make products perform better in many different ways. Unfortunately, you must be very specific and knowledgeable about what you're putting into the spray tank and at what time. But for the big picture, it absolutely is to improve the performance of your spray application.
So each of these has a targeted and a very specific role in spray application. What is the best way to figure out which one to use at any given time?
That's the real key. To have your knowledge level to say today, with this product and these conditions, here's the adjuvant system that is going to be the biggest helper in this application today.
And it really does start with the label. Looking at the product labels will get you set in the right direction. And you can always organize a spray clinic for your staff and customers to learn more. Our intent with this program is to give you some general knowledge and to build your curiosity to get some specific knowledge you need from a spray clinic or for your Winfield United rep.
Yep, adjuvants can be pretty complicated, but there are a lot of commonalities about what they do in terms of increasing performance. So we need to look at functionality, what does the adjuvant do, and try to pick the best one for the conditions. And you know that when you're looking at the Winfield brands, you're getting a premium product to start with. And what's really cool, as an agronomist, if you know and understand adjuvants, this will set you apart from your competitors.
All right, folks, I'm convinced, after hearing from you, that Winfield United is absolutely the industry standard and the best in the business. But what if there's someone that isn't convinced? Give me a concise answer to this question. Why should I buy Winfield United products rather than John Doe's pretty good adjuvants?
Well, Erin, there's a couple of things. One is years and years of research. We do a ton of research before a product ever makes it to the marketplace. The other thing is performance. Consistently, Winfield United adjuvants outperform everybody when we put them into the field. The third thing is expertise. Nobody has more expertise in spray application technology than Winfield United.
Erin, I think the key is the years of research before a product even gets tested into the market and our ongoing proven performance. When our products are out there, we continue to test them. Farmers are testing them. Our retailers are testing them, showing proven performance. And great technical support of our agronomists in the field supporting our customers and their farmers. And that's why we are proud to work for Winfield United Canada.
We've learned so much about the amount of research and testing that goes into Winfield United adjuvants. And while some adjuvants have been around a long time, Winfield United continues to test their adjuvants and test new adjuvants to be sure we're offering nothing but the best. We broke down each of the classes of activator adjuvants, and I think I'm finally getting it sorted out into surfactants, oils, and high surfactant oil concentrates. Non-ionic surfactants are things like high activate, and they work to decrease surface tension and help products stick and spread on the leaf surface. Oil adjuvants, those cut through the waxy cuticle to get the active ingredients in the plant. And there's two main types of these adjuvants. The older type is a COC, or a crop oil concentrate, which is made from petroleum-based products. I like to think of it like diesel. MSOs, or methylated seed oils, are a newer type of oil, and they're made from seeds like soybeans and canola. And I remember this by thinking about biodiesel. And just to complicate things, there's a newer and cooler type of oil adjuvant called a high surfactant oil concentrate, or an HSOC. And these can contain an MSO or a COC plus a surfactant. So we're really getting the best of both worlds there. It's kind of like an oil plus a surfactant. So I might have to go back and listen to this episode one more time just to make sure I have everything straight. But thanks, Martin and Todd, for letting me ride along with you today and going over each of these categories. This is Erin Willenberg, signing off from the Buddy Seat. Over and out.